This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by APEX Atlanta, an association for supply chain management organization. APEX Atlanta provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. Consider getting involved with APEX Atlanta as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops can be delivered at your offices and are also offered through a partnership with Georgia Tech's Supply Chain and Logistics Institute. In 2019, CSCP and CLTD workshops are offered in a 2.5-day boot camp format in June and October. Whether you're interested in better understanding inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, APEX Atlanta has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, check out apexatlanta.org or send a note to info@apexatlanta.org.
Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live this morning on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad that you've chosen to join us. Now, be sure, if you're catching this on replay, check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. We'd love for you to subscribe so you don't miss a single thing. This morning, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Barnes, President and Executive Director of APEX Atlanta. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning. Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day. And as we did teed up in the promo, this is President's parentheses of Supply Chain parentheses Day.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I guess you're
it's
right.
Very important in the supply chain. Supply chain city.
High-level people with us today.
So on that note, we've been busy over the last few months interviewing some of the biggest movers and shakers in the supply chain world. So good news, we're going to be continuing that trend this morning. So with that said, let's say hello to our featured guest this Monday morning on Supply Chain Now Radio. First off, Jim Becker, CEO of Becker Logistics. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Welcome back from Africa.
Thank you very much.
Big trip. Maybe we can dive into that here in a second. And then Paul Noble, founder and CEO at Verison. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Glad you're here as well. Second time, repeat guest. Yeah. It's always a great thing. And there's a lot been a. Your team has been very busy since last time you were on the show.
Yeah, a lot moving quickly. So
absolutely, it's exciting.
Excited
news
to be here.
Actually, for that matter, I think growth is going to be a big growth, and leadership takeaways is going to be a big theme of today's show. We're sitting with two fearless leaders of two organizations that are really taking off. So look forward to diving in to that real soon. So, but Chris, let's start like we always do with some of the top things to know in supply chain now. So what's been on your radar here lately?
Well, I continue to go back to supply chain management becoming a reputable profession in terms of the industry overall. I continue to hear politicians and podcasts and other people on YouTube talking about supply chain management in their normal diatribe. So it's unusual to hear supply chain being referenced, especially at the political arenas, regardless of your political leanings. But I think the trend is going to be towards having a professional certifications for supply chain employees, somewhat similar to a CPA or a law. You have to be registered or at least validated by the government or some organization. So I can see that, and APEX is in a great spot to do that with their certifications.
Definitely.
And the other thing is what I call, we might hit on it today with Paul a little bit, I call it predaptive analytics. So rather than predicting things that are going to happen, it's looking at the data and kind of letting the data make the decisions for you. So it's a mesh between data analytics, predictive analytics, and supply chain event management. So it's basically saying here's events that are occurring, here's what needs to happen. And unless you tell us otherwise, the system will make the adjustments for you.
Mm. Well, you're talking, going back to what you said a minute ago about APEX offerings. As we've been talking about on most of our shows, APEX is now part of the Association for Supply Chain Management, ASCM.org. And while APEX is not going away, I mean, we have established a 60-year track record of a body of knowledge and industry-leading certifications, which, Chris, you've got some news on. Locally, what does that mean for certifications? Folks might be interested in supply chain certifications.
Yeah, we've partnered with, last year we partnered with Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute, Tim Brown, and basically have the CSCP and the CLTD certifications offered as 2.5-day boot camps through their as a part of their management program. So it's an excellent way to go in, kind of jumpstart your individual study pursuits.
Absolutely. And the next boot camp's coming up in
June, mid-June, okay. And October in the fall.
Great. Anything else on your radar before I share a nugget here?
No, that's good. I'm excited to hear what we have to talk about.
I am too. Right before we dive in with Jim Becker of Becker Logistics, I want to share something that's been on my radar here. So about a year and a half ago, we reported on the autonomous trucking firm TuSimple, TuSimple. At the time, it had just kicked off, I believe, experimental routes in Arizona, which Arizona is one of the states that really opens it up in terms of experiments and with these autonomous trucking vehicles. In a recent Wall Street Journal article last week by Jennifer Smith, it appears that TuSimple has raised $95 million to expand its fleet of self-driving big rigs and fund joint product development with truck manufacturers, which is pretty cool, and equipment makers. Of course, you can do a lot with $95 million. I don't know. I'll defer to the bigger folks in the room, but $95 million looks like they're going to really be able to expand, get a lot closer to making it more practical, and expand beyond the Arizona market. What I also liked from this article is it's developing, TuSimple is developing technology aimed at making the long-haul trucking cheaper and more efficient, in part by allowing trucks to run beyond, of course, the 11-hour daily operating limit in place for human drivers. At the core of this technology, Chris, TuSimple's technology is built around cameras that it claims, and I've never ridden in one of these cabs, but it claims it provides better long-range predictive capabilities than LiDAR. Am I pronouncing that right? LiDAR, yeah. Which is the technology used in most self-driving passenger cars. So according to the company, its cameras can see about 1,000 meters, 3,200 feet ahead, half mile. So they are identifying accidents, folks pulled off side of the road, light changes a half mile out, which is, I wouldn't mind one of those in my car driving here in Atlanta. And also a couple other things. The average run is, in terms of what they already have established in Arizona, is about 200 miles, and it's automated literally from end to end, including surface street navigation. That they use human drivers to back up to loading docks. They also sit in the cab as a redundancy there. So, of course, to make this as cost-efficient, as a cost-efficient alternative, they're going to have to, you know, really eliminate those folks in the cab. But still, interesting to see the current successes just in the last year and a half with this, and looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with this $100 million to continue the growth and hopefully the adoption, right? Because we all have to be comfortable as fellow travelers with these autonomous trucking vehicles too.
Yeah, I would venture to say that the self-driving, although it sounds very Jetson-ish in future, that it's
Jetson-ish.
Already here.
I like
it's
that.
Already here. I mean, I have a 3-year-old car, and it still has the I can turn on the cruise control, and then it's got the front sensors where it will slow down for me, so I don't have to touch the gas or the brakes for 300 or 400 miles, because it's automatically sensing who's pulled in front of you, so it's doing that for you. I know some of the newer cars have the lane change assist, so if you start to get over the center line, the wheels will start to shake and move you back to the middle. So that's pretty much self-driving cars.
Well, my vehicle is about 10 years old, so this modern-day world that you speak of is lost on me. So one last note on TuSimple. The company plans to expand to 5 routes, including one running between Arizona and Texas along Interstate 10. It's got 11 vehicles in its overall fleet right now and plans to expand to more than 50 tractors by June. So neat to see what's going on in Arizona by the folks over at TuSimple. All right. So we're going to dive right in. We got two great guests, Chris, up first today on Supply Chain Now Radio. We welcome Jim Becker, CEO of Becker Logistics. Good morning again, Jim.
Good morning, Scott.
So before you tell us about Becker Logistics and your local operation here, which is one of 7 in the States, tell us about what was going on in Africa.
Well, I went down for a leadership conference down in Africa, and there was 40 leaders from around the world. I was the only one from the United States. So, as a matter of fact, there was 2 people there from logistics, one in Belgium and another in South Africa. And on the ETF report, it showed 4%, 4.6% of the contributors were from Africa. Mm. So it's pretty interesting.
Absolutely. And what Jim's referring to is the I4Transport EFT Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019 report, which is a mouthful. We're going to get Jim and Paul's key takeaways on that in a second. But this report, they surveyed 765 industry professionals from retailers, manufacturers, logistics service providers, solution providers. And I think you mentioned about just under 5% were based in Africa, right?
In South Africa.
South Africa. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it sounds like a great trip.
It was fantastic.
Now, you going back anytime soon?
No time soon. But I gained a lot of information there. And as a leader of our organization, I need to be up in front of what's coming. And now that we're growing substantially in the States, 1,000% over the last 5 years.
Wow. 130%
year over year. I'm really trying to look at what's next for Becker Logistics. Do we go global?
So I want to dive into that growth in a second. But tell us, for our listeners, tell us about what Becker Logistics does.
Okay. So our enterprise promise is driving logistics with absolute integrity. And what Becker Logistics should be one of the top 100 3PLs in 2018 with out of the 18,800 providers. With our $80.5 million in gross revenue in 2018 and $13.2 million in our net revenue. Our customer promise to our 600 customers is excellent service each and every time. Mm. So our customers are needing qualified freight providers, connections to more drivers to handle the growth demand, and honest customer service team to handle the flow.
So, it's interesting when you mentioned service. My wife and I went out to dinner Saturday night, went to a great restaurant, good food, but the service was terrible, and it really just ruined the experience. And so bringing service into the supply chain space, speak to how important that is and the feedback you get from your customers.
Well, Scott, it's a great question because with a large organization, and there's several out there, I think they lose contact with what's really important. And people are looking for that personal connection, and they want someone to really service them right away. A lot of things are going automated now, but we still are looking at that hand-to-hand contact with our customers, and they want answers right away. And they want it with absolute integrity. Mm. They don't want second guessing. They want to know the person that they're dealing with is the honest person to make sure that they're handling everything from start to finish. Because we're an extension of them. It's like they're hiring us to do their work.
Mm. And follow up.
Correct.
Right? Follow up is so big. So lots of growth. So backing up for a second, Becker Logistics, transportation management, right? What are some of the things that you're delivering for your customers?
Well, we're delivering, of course, that integrity. We're delivering also technology that they can bolt on to their ERP system. So we're offering them the full-service, single-source solution to their transportation spend, which we can eliminate their spend by 5 to 7%. And when we tell that to the customers, they're really interested in that. In addition to that, we can handle their contracts on an ongoing basis, and we're probably partners – customers with some of their customers already.
Mm. Really, I imagine it really makes problem solving much easier and protects their transportation dollars, right?
Exactly.
And lets them sleep better at night, right?
Absolutely.
So talking about the growth, so you mentioned in our warm-up that Becker Logistics will be opening 4 offices in 2019, and you've already opened up 2 of the 4.
That's correct.
Y'all haven't wasted any time.
No, we did not.
It's not even March yet, right? And the 2 that you opened up in Missouri and Texas, right? St. Charles, Missouri, and Irving, Texas.
That is correct.
Is that right? And Chris, you're a native of St. Charles, Missouri, right?
Right there, yes. I left too early.
Yeah, no kidding.
I left in the kindergarten. I should have stuck around. Could have had a great job right there in St. Charles. So I'm curious, Jim, how do you determine where to put these? I hear so much about the Amazons and all the competition making the metros compete. Did you guys go through anything like that, or how did you decide Irving and St. Charles?
Yeah, we basically looked for locations where there was a concentration of logistics professionals because there is there's not that many logistics professionals. So we want to make sure that we're successful in every space that we go into. So we picked Dallas-Fort Worth. We found a key person to run that office for us, and then we started backfilling that. I believe we're already up to 4 or 5 employees already down in Irving, Texas. And same thing in St. Charles, Missouri, looking for the correct location to go in there. We're not going in there to necessarily compete with other competitors of ours, but we really want to really get a good start and bring our culture to these areas as well.
So 1,000 growth over the last 5 years.
Yes, sir.
That is incredible. And a big focus on service. So have you identified, so 4 offices is your goal for 2019. Have you identified the other markets? And you don't have to release anything yet, but have you already identified where you're going
to
be?
Yeah, we have 7 other locations in the states that we want to expand to. We've already flown to certain places looking at that. We're also working with the states with looking at potential places. And now that I'm getting back mm-hmm. to the states, we're going to be really pursuing that a little bit harder, as well as our acquisition targets.
Wow, no rest for the weary, huh? Jump right back from Africa and 0 to 60.
Well, I have a great team. I have 22 people that are in the leadership team out of our 137 employees, and they really make things work smoothly, and it's a lot of fun. And without them, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, Jim, I think a lot of companies, it's really about the culture, especially smaller organizations. I would assume you agree that it's with that same sentiment, you're 22 leaders. They have to kind of share your vision. So as your organization grows as aggressively as it's growing, how do you maintain that culture that you started the company with?
Well, I couldn't say it any better than Peter Drucker. He said it best. Culture eats strategy for breakfast, a phrase originated by Peter Drucker and made famous by Mark Fields, president at Ford, is an absolute reality. Mm. Any company disconnecting from the two are putting their success at risk.
That's excellent. Well, as I said, I know it's important. And when you're small, you know, maybe a startup organization, we'll talk to Paul a little bit later, but it's easy to see everybody and touch everybody every day. But as they start growing 7 offices, I can imagine that's tough to do.
Yep. But so with all this growth that Becker Logistics has been going through, clearly culture is that short list of priorities. What other lessons or challenges have you experienced that's really given you, great lessons learned that you can apply moving forward?
Scott, great question. One thing for companies that are growing, working capital is so important. Your cash conversion is crucial, especially when you're doing acquisitions or opening up additional offices or hiring top talent. You really want that retention to stay down so that you can really build an organization, a good team behind you. And when you're looking at certain things, your DSO, days sales outstanding, and your DPO, days payable outstanding, making sure that that conversion is going well so that when you do want to invest money, capital, it's there for you and your organization to grow.
That's excellent. I got to give the Apex bell. He's already said some key terms around Apex terminology, 3PL, third-party logistics, and then DSO. That's excellent. Thank you, Jim.
Hey, sales outstanding. So big metric-run organization, leading with the metrics, managing the metrics, lots of visibility there at Becker Logistics.
Yeah, if you don't measure it, you can't manage it. Mm. You know, but going back to culture, leadership values, right? We've identified IQ is core. And that is our 8 values. Our 8 values are integrity, quality, innovation, safety, competitiveness, openness, respect, equal work-life balance for people. And our 9th one is fun.
So, we're going to touch on, you got to have fun. Otherwise, it's just a J-O-B, right?
I'm curious, Jim, is that your fun or their own definition of fun? How does that work?
It's their definition of fun as long as it meets HR levels.
I'm always curious how that is. You know, it's like the Friday casual day. People show up in their underwear and T-shirts. You're like, wait a minute. It's not quite that casual.
As Jim mentioned, it's got to adhere to HR policy.
That's fair.
Going back to Africa, you know, one thing when we were working on our business plans and helping each other with their businesses, the one crucial thing that you realize is you spend, 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the afternoon working on your business. We were getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning going on a game track and looking for the wildlife and looking at the top 5. And then after we got done working on our business plans, we went out again. And there was a competition, and everybody wants to be first and in the finals. But you can't you have to have that balance, right? And that's one of our values is that work-life balance. Even though you need to get that deadline done, I mean, most of us are parents, we can't forget or forego the relationship with our children, our relationship with our wives, our partners, and as well as really identifying with nature, because nature's always going to continue.
Yep.
Same thing with business.
So you mentioned innovation is one of your nine values, and we're going to talk with Paul about innovation on a recent trip he had in Japan. What does that mean for Becker Logistics? You know, how do you see your team live that value out?
Well, we follow that by a couple of the things that we've been working on. Number one, we have our 3PL LMS, which is our learning management system for our employees and our partners, so that we can go ahead and put video, audio, and tests on there so that we can really educate our people. You know, with the lack of people that are available out there for talent and the shortages that there are and the growth that we've been experiencing, we hired 90 people last year, 60 people the year before, and we're going to be hiring 90 people this year. So when we look at that, education's so important and really understanding who we are. You see, in an organization, the problem where you have a problem with retention is people don't really understand what their job is or how to do their job or how to manage or what management really is. Right, being a servant leader, I'm there to serve our employees. So if we have technology like something for education, it really helps out. The other part is we have our logisticsu.com, and that's educating our salespeople on really how to have a good value proposition for our customers and how to really synergize with them and how to bring that forward.
And logisticsu.com, is that for your team members as well as the public?
That's right now for our team members. We've talked about taking this excellence, our secret sauce, if you will, and really just opening that up into an open market so that anyone can log on there. That would be huge. And we're really looking at trying to give back to the community. One thing that we're looking at is for every shipment that we ship, you know, feeding a hungry person in Africa. Right, and how great would that be, looking at your invoice if you were a large customer and seeing that you shipped 330 shipments with Becker Logistics and here's your invoice. And by the way, you also paid to take care of feeding hungry people, 300 hungry people in Africa.
Have you thought about, on that note, we partner with Rise Against Hunger. Is that a group we partner
right.
with? They've got a team here in the Atlanta area, and in fact they sent their team, so that their whole mission, Jim and Paul, is to send meals to communities around the world, but Africa is a big focus for them, and they partner with organizations to do meal packing activities, and it's really a neat team building, and you're doing good work, and it's just a neat, you know, you feel better about spending the dollars on these events. And they also sent their team through APEX training, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Since they're basically a supply chain organization, so y'all have to check that out, Rise Against Hunger. I think they're a global organization, but they've got a great team here local.
Yeah, that's a great one. We were looking at B1G1 as a partner, but this Rise Against Hunger would be something also.
Fantastic.
Well, it's a nice step that I think it says something about the Becker as an organization in terms of dealing with the people that you're willing to invest in. You call it professional development or whatever in the people, because as you bring people in, it's hard, as I said, it's hard to for Jim, for you to put your touch on each person. So that learning management system, I from my biased perspective as an APEX professional, I think it's a great investment.
Yep.
I've always heard, you know, the old Zig Ziglar once said, I don't know if I attribute it to him, he's the first place I've heard it, is I'd rather train my employees and they leave than not train them and they stay. So, and I think everybody in supply chain, whether a practitioner or especially the salespeople, should have some type of APEX certification, just because it helps you become a more trusted advisor as you're talking to your clients.
I think it helps you digest the change that is so rampant and rapid in our organization too. So one last thought about leadership, because a lot of what you're speaking to is, you can hear your thoughts on leadership there, but what's one thing we didn't touch on that is critical to how you define and execute leadership?
I would say, for myself personally, being a leader that's a servant leader and there to serve your people and your customers and your carriers and all the partners that work with your organization. But the values, I have four four key values that I work off of. And number one is integrity. Well, we embedded integrity into our company about, I want to say, 2010. And we really unpackaged the word integrity and how important it is and how it's your foundation from where you're building from. And that's where our growth really came from our integrity. Mm. And, of course, with our culture and our people. But number two value is authentic. You have to be very authentic with what you're doing. As being a leader in our organization and growing it, we take on certain responsibilities of giving back to the community, giving back to our people. Mm. And the communities in which we work in, if it's Duluth, Georgia, if it's Chicago, how do we give back? How do we give out backpacks to the poor that really need those going back to school? And how do we make an impact inside the organizations? Third is being cause in the matter. So you have to be that cause, right? So with much that is given, much responsibility is now responsible for. Mm. So when we're doing this, we have to be cause in the matter. So everything that we see, if it's with our customers or if it's with our employees, how can we be cause in that matter? And then lastly is taking on things larger than ourselves. My wife always says, why are you opening up more offices? I'm like, because it's possible. And there's people that need leading, and there's markets. And as we continue, we're looking at places as we continue this growth, because our growth is supposed to be 80% this year in 2019. Where are we going to put all the people was my question. So we needed to really make space for those people and really hit those. So taking on something larger than yourself. When we talk about opening up an office in South Africa or opening up in Belgium or UK, you know, now we're broadening that. Mm. And, you know, Chris and Scott, when you're really pushing forward, you really need to be that change activist as you're moving forward. Mm. And when you're doing that and you're responsible for 137 people, that responsibility is there that you're paving that journey that we're on. And we're climbing a mountain that has no top. Mm. So it's not like you're trying to get to somewhere. You're just trying to keep moving.
Providing opportunities for others.
That's correct.
Being bold in your action. That's wow. We're going to have to leave here with a special jar of your secret sauce, and I hope it rubs off on our organizations. 80% growth in 2019 is impressive, and 1,000% growth in the last 5 years. Do you get any sleep at night, Jim?
I get about 5 hours of sleep.
Okay. It's interesting, just again, back to the APIX terms. Yeah. It sounds to me like Jim's talking, and I don't know if he realizes this, he's talking about a new corporate measure called the triple bottom line, which is you have your profitability metric, obviously, which is the original bottom line. But then you also have your sustainability and economic, sustainability impact on the environment. And then the third measure is your social responsibility. So it sounds like you're kind of hitting on those primary drivers. That's pretty impressive, especially when you start talking about giving food for deliveries and those types of things.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of fun, if I could just wrap up.
Sure.
Doing a little research, Jim. Are you the same Jim Becker I would see on YouTube dancing around the stage? Is that...
Yes, it was a fun hobby of mine for many, many years. I've been dancing since I was 20, age of 20. And my love, my passion is West Coast Swing. I started a dance convention with my dance partner, Nancy Tuzzolino, probably 15 years ago. It was called the Chicago Classic. We'd have 750 to 800 people, participants fly in from around the world, 18 different countries. And it was a great organization, great club. It still exists. It goes on in March, and we sold it. And ever since, I was really trying to focus myself. You know, originally the dance was really to let that stress out and get my mind off my business instead of constantly working on my business and really being diligent on that still today. Mm. It's like a muscle that you have to exercise. But when I sold that, the company also saw a huge increase, and I was able to focus more on that.
Wow.
But that was more for community also.
West Coast Swing. We have your next student right here.
There you go. All right, Chris, you ready?
Maybe our intro song is something with the big, big bad voodoo daddy, perhaps. Now,
well, so one more fun thing I want to pick your brain on, Jim. So we talked on the front end, EFT Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019, the report came out a couple weeks ago. It's how many pages, Chris? Probably 30 pages.
Yeah, 30 pages. Yeah. It's good content.
Great content, good data. Again, they surveyed about 765 industry professionals from across the end-to-end supply chain. What, you know, as you look through that, Jim, what were some of the key takeaways that you had?
Well, it was a great report, and I would say that I'm a minority on there because 26.6% felt that the GDP would grow globally. And I do feel a recession is looming, but it should hold off probably until the election year. And there is a shortage of drivers, but there's also a huge growth in selling of equipment. So I question that sometimes. I expect a reasonably strong growth environment. The capacity staying the same at 29.96%. So I think capacity is just going to be flat throughout the year, what we saw last year or the year before. And cross-border for us is mostly just with Canada. We have a lot of customers up in Canada. But we plan on activating our freight forwarding license that we when we acquired Savage in November of 2017. We also received a freight forwarding license in there. So that's going to be another mode of revenue for us as we look forward. And, you know, being down here in Duluth, Georgia, you know, we were, before I went on my trip to South Africa, we went to the Georgia State University on February 5th and really looking for talented people here in Duluth. So, you know, I think the report's right on. I think EFT does a fantastic job on sending out that report and getting it, the information out there.
Fantastic. And you can check out that report at EFT.com, and we'll touch on that towards the end of today's episode too. Hiring 90 people, so there's opportunity with Becker Logistics. Hiring 90 people in 2019, is that right, Jim?
That's correct.
Okay. And if folks want to learn more about your company, get in touch with you, do business with you, or maybe even get a job, where would you point them to?
That would be BeckerLogistics.com, or you can call us at 1-800-GO-BECKER. That's 800-462-3253.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
And Jim, as a as a Georgia taxpayer, I appreciate you doing business locally here in Duluth. Are all those 90 people going to be in Duluth, or spread out? You're hiring people specifically in Atlanta?
Right now, the business plan calls for hiring 14 people here in Duluth, Georgia alone.
And you have open recs right now, so if anybody's looking at making a change, what types of people are you looking for?
We're looking for salespeople. We're looking for operations. We're looking for data analysts. You know, one of the things that you pointed out is, on the technology, we're using a software called R, and with our data scientists, we're really doing 9 predictive analysis on what rates are going to be 6 months out in the future. We're also using algorithms for our freight matching so that we can kind of automate that as well. We're also using a great new software called HubTrans to really automate our back office for all of our counting. So those are some key things that I think we left out, but wanted to throw in there.
Well, you know, one of our sponsors, Talent Stream, we'll have to get you connected there. I imagine you're hiring folks from a variety of different avenues, but I'm sure they'd love to talk with you.
Yeah, and I guess somewhat it's a loaded question, but my daughter's going into college. She's a senior in high school, Jim. So what would you tell her if she wanted to get a job in 4 years? I mean, what type of degree should she look at?
Or I would say an econ, business administration, marketing, sociology would be some key ones. Psychology, because those are really important degrees as you move forward. But I'll tell you right now, we've got football players, ex-football, professional football players working for us. We have history students that are history majors that are working for us. So the array in transportation is unbelievable. It's very broad.
And you mentioned IQ is a priority. So it's neat. Sounds like you're applying that, of course, to the inbound pipeline of talent.
Absolutely.
It leaves me out. I guess I'll stick to the radio.
Well, Jim Becker with Becker Logistics, thanks so much for joining us here on Supply Chain Now Radio. Again, to our audience, you can learn more at BeckerLogistics.com or 1-800-GO-BECKER. Incredible, fast growth organization that sounds like a great company to work for and do business with.
Thanks. And I just want to acknowledge both Supply Chain Now Radio and Apex for having me here, and appreciate it.
Great job.
Keep it up.
We will. Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks.
So up next, and don't go anywhere, we're going to pick your brain on something towards the end of the show. Up next today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Paul Noble, founder and CEO at Verisyn. Good morning again, Paul.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. And you just got back from a trip to Japan where we were talking innovation earlier. Tell us about what you were doing in Tokyo, I believe, right?
Yeah, we were in Tokyo. So the team and I had a great opportunity with one of our partners, SAP, specifically their early stage innovation arm, SAP.io, which we participated in their innovation center in San Francisco most of last year. And they invited us, and we were excited to go partner not only with them and their customers in the Japanese market and learn from them and let them know what we're doing. But they were launching the similar innovation center in Tokyo as well. Mm. So we participated in that event and really talked a lot about what we're doing here in Atlanta and how we work with an enterprise like SAP to help move their supply chains and their business forward.
Well, so let's talk about how you work. When we talk about innovation, innovative technologies like Verisign, I mean, it's above my pay grade, the types of, artificial intelligence and the data harmonization. But tell us about, especially in layman's terms, how does Verisign help its clients and customers?
Yeah, so really, when it boils down to it, as we're talking to customers, we're trying to uncover pains within their supply chain and really answer some age-old problems for them. And when it boils down to it, it's visibility across data across their enterprise. Mm. So to keep it simple,
yep.
These organizations run legacy ERP systems, mm. and they're disconnected by nature. So it makes it difficult, even as much as they would like to be able to have that visibility across enterprise. So really, if we're focused on materials management, and what we can provide is visibility and digitization mm. and automation, which was big part of the EFT report
yep.
That you mentioned earlier. And we use that to drive business outcomes. So we start with predictive inventory, which is really important to every mm. organization around materials and what they're using to support the maintenance of their operations and what they're using from a material standpoint to build their products. And even for some specific verticals like automotive and heavy machinery and heavy equipment, service parts networks mm. as well. So giving that visibility allows them to work more effectively together with, internally and yep. with their supplier partners.
So, Paul, I went back and I cheated a little bit when I was doing my homework.
Yeah.
For this segment here, and we had you back on Supply Chain Now Radio, I think last summer, I think it was, and we had you on yeah. with Sprint, and Sprint was talking about 5G, and right. it was a really neat, cohesive conversation. You mentioned some factoids to me, and so feel free to correct me if things have changed a little bit,
okay.
but you're talking about back then that manufacturing companies spend about $500 billion on materials to keep their facilities up and running, right?
Correct.
And because of some of the gaps within the ERP systems, your typical Fortune 1000 company could have $40 to $60 million of savings if these gaps were more visible. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. That's where we start.
Okay, that's where you mm-hmm. start. And, mm-hmm. and is that what has been fueling a lot of y'all's growth? Is attacking this gap, these companies?
Yeah, it's quickly being able to kind of extract knowledge from. Data that already exists in their systems, but being, we've developed a few different pieces of artificial intelligence mm-hmm. that can help not only harmonize the data, so that's one separate module or product, and then we have the ability to then use that data to train the system on movement history and be able to find working capital business case.
Make better decisions.
Yeah,
right?
Make better decisions and track decisions, more mm. importantly. So we can work with an organization and as, going back to what we do, we're essentially laying a data foundation for mm-hmm. them that will help them not only improve their processes, maximize resources, a multitude of different things, but really propel them to look at forward technologies and adopt Industry 4.0 mm. much faster.
And, so lots of growth at Verisign. One of the things that I uncovered doing a little bit of homework, we didn't talk a lot about this, but you're launching a new platform, right, this month or next month?
We are, yeah. We're in testing now, but excited, and it comes, last time we were here, we were audit, and we've since rebranded just within the last few weeks to Verisign, which speaks to our customer promise, which is visibility and truth mm. Across supply chains and enterprises, and truth in data, truth in visibility, inventory, and so what we've spent a long long time working with customers and working with ERP providers like SAP to get the back-end technology where it needs to be to provide that promise. But we've been working very hard to build the front end of that platform to present a lot of these findings in an easier, simple capacity that allows them to be presented and make decisions on a daily basis and work together.
So you're not a fan, Verizon's not a fan of the dueling spreadsheets that have been around since?
No. We eat those spreadsheets for lunch.
Okay. Oh, we got our breakfast and our lunch planned.
There
so
we
that's
go.
Terrific.
All right.
That reminds me of the Happy Gilmore. You eat spreadsheets for lunch? It's interesting. You know, we talked to Jim, who I was hitting upon, you know, the triple bottom line. So I'm throwing in some supply chain practitioner information. Paul, it sounds like one of the things Apex preaches is the three V's of supply chain.
Yeah.
Visibility, velocity, and variation. So you try to increase visibility, increase velocity, inventory velocity, while minimizing process variation. So it's an interesting that you're hitting upon those standard supply chain themes.
Mm. Yeah, and that's and we're often asked. I mean, a lot of these principles, you know, companies know, generally speaking, that they want to manage this part of their business better. And it's why artificial intelligence versus some more traditional methods, and it really comes down to speed, scale, and accuracy, and the ability to, you know, use that expert supply chain knowledge that they have on their business and generally speaking, and transfer that knowledge to the system to be to eliminate variability.
So we've spoken to the solution and the new and improved solution that Verizon will be launching here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's kind of switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about growth. Clearly, with Jim Becker, we dialed in on a lot of the different dynamics related to Becker Logistics growth. What are some of those lessons learned on your end, Paul, as your organization has grown quite a bit as well?
Yeah, it's it can get pulled a lot of different directions with from customers and priorities when you're growing as quickly as we have been over the last several months, and building a great team is really our foundation. So we've been able to hire a great group of engineers. Our leadership's been focused on delivering a simple solution, simple yet important solution to our customers. And then we've been able to have a lot of demand in terms of some really great people on the sales and solutions front that have joined our team as well. So that's really, really important as we continue to build upon that and release the platform and increase our customer engagements. We're really excited for where we're going to go in 2019 to continue to hire. So we've tripled the team in a short period of time, and we're looking to probably continue to do that in various engineering capacities, data science roles, and sales and marketing roles as well. And most importantly, too, going to be adding a customer success team as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. So building more capability and capacity into the Verizon team, it sounds like, in the months ahead.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Paul, you talk about platform. I think that is historically, probably over the past 20 years, supply chain technology has been a point solution, whether it's a warehouse management system or a transportation, and you're offering one product. Now I see companies, organizations really offering platforms, is what you're saying. So you can come in, you can kind of plug and play different applications as long as they're supported by the platform.
Yeah, and I think our solutions will continue to evolve across specific verticals and have some variation depending on what type of business you have, but really, as we talk to that, the gaps in the systems, and no matter what you manufacture or if you're an airline or aerospace customer or an automotive customer, there are many of the same types of problems that we're tackling and have productized that a little bit more effectively than some of our competition the traditional ways that these problems have been tackled.
In your business strategy, you mentioned a small company called SAP. I've heard they have a few customers. How does your if a company has SAP, how do they know if they need to talk to you guys? I mean,
Most likely, if they're in our vertical, there's a way for us to add value. We're not only partnered, we're system agnostic, generally speaking, but have a close relationship with SAP and their teams from a technical and sales perspective. But really, we look to enhance what we're kind of deeming the supply chain stack. So however they've put together various technologies to solve some of these problems, we can enhance that supply chain stack with intelligence and improve data, an improved data foundation that allows them to capture more value and solve some problems now and prepare them as they upgrade those systems over time with SAP and other, you know, external partner and provider, so that that data is passed through and allow, you know, allowing them to learn from their operations more effectively to get a return on investment in that.
Well, do you work with other, I think you kind of mentioned it, you work with other major ERPs or other ERPs?
Yeah, we certainly have a closer relationship with SAP, but again, being system agnostic, we are working with customers that are on Oracle, JD Edwards, Microsoft Dynamics, Infor, really across the board. And then back to you, you know, I guess, mentioning it earlier, those that maybe don't have a high-powered ERP system and maybe doing a lot of these types of things on spreadsheets or external to the system. So we're looking to automate and improve a lot of those things.
Spreadsheets still work. Excel still a good ERP.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Post-it notes. Yeah, that's old school.
So so real quick on the folks that you're looking to hire, how can interested parties get in touch?
Yeah, we'll be posting a lot of those requisitions at Verisyn.com and through LinkedIn as well. And they can always, you know, anyone interested, and we always, you know, we've received some, and it's been fantastic to meet great people. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. Atlanta has such a deep talent pool. And, you know, if you're interested in what we're doing and want to have a conversation with myself or any of other our leadership team, please reach out via the website, info@verisyn.com, or directly to me at paul@verisyn.com.
Great. And to our audience, that is spelled V-E-R-U-S-E-N, verisyn.com, and info@ and paul@, it seems like.
Paul, if I – and I asked – we asked Jim this question just a few moments ago around – the types of people or the types of skills that you're looking for. Do you have any vision around that?
Certainly, yeah. So we're looking at individuals with background in supply chain is always a plus. An understanding of supply chain and systems and software that supports the supply chain is always a benefit. And then just general technology background is important because, you know, when it comes down to it, we are a technology at core and an AI company at the core. So any of those individuals or interests along those lines probably have some availability in a role.
And where are your offices?
We're located in Tech Square at the Advanced Technology Development Center.
Well, that's popular.
So, yeah, it's a great...
It's a good space. No parking, but that's okay.
Great ecosystem. Yeah, we'll find
take
you
the MARTA. There's a MARTA.
Exactly. There's a MARTA station close.
10th Street or Spring Street.
But yeah, I have a very close, we mentioned it on our first visit to Supply Chain Now Radio. Great relationship with Supply Chain Logistics Institute and their leadership and Tim, and are looking to them from a talent perspective. And then with Advanced Technology Development Center, a great ecosystem that we're so thrilled to be a part of.
And what is that, if you got a couple of 30 seconds, what is that? That technology center, I mean, is it just an incubation place?
So it's one of the oldest incubators in the country, and it's continued to evolve and grow. Now under new leadership, John Avery's new director and manager of ATDC and has an extensive, came from Panasonic. And Georgia Tech is, you know, one of the places that supply chain leaders and manufacturing enterprises look to. So we get, you know, weekly introductions to Fortune 500 companies and customers that are coming through looking to Atlanta, looking to Georgia Tech for innovation and solutions. And we're, you know, again, so happy to be a part of that and have those opportunities presented to us as a early stage company.
very special place to do business, especially in supply chain.
We need to go down and have a show down there, kind of get a bunch of companies together.
Well, you know, we are going to be at Point A in the next couple of months.
Yeah, we're right across the street from Point A.
Yeah, okay. We're going to be doing a podcast there after the Supply Chain Awards.
Oh, fabulous.
And for those that may not know, Point A is the Innovation Center at Georgia Pacific, stood up along with a variety of other partners in the last few months. I wanted to also ask you about, Paul, and threw me off here, my train of thought, Chris.
Oh, that's all right.
EFT. Oh, I know what I want to do before we talk EFT. So Jim, we need to hook you up with Georgia Tech Supply Chain Day, which Apex Atlanta sponsors.
Oh, that's right.
With you doing all that hiring. And I think we may have chatted about it pre-show. They do a great, it's a job show on steroids. There's also a good bit of mentoring and FaceTime with the students. It's just a really neat experience. So we'll get you plugged in on that, and maybe you can that could be one of the avenues you find the folks that you're looking for.
Most definitely.
They got a horrible date though this March.
I know. The next one's not great. It's March 12th.
I'm not going to tell you when their meeting is.
we'll make that connection.
We'll be at both places.
Okay,
that's
good.
Right. Awesome.
Good. Okay.
So let's talk EFT. We asked. We got some of Jim's perspective on the EFT Supply Chain Hot Trends 2019 report, which is a mouthful, but chock full of information. So, Paul, same question to you. What were some of your key takeaways from that report?
Yeah, I always gravitate towards the discussions of advancing technology, and many of the same things we're hearing from our customers and prospects. Came out in that report. So looking at automation, very important to be improving those processes and tracking those decisions. That's much of what we do. But then also what that means for adopting future technologies, within Industry 4.0, and not creating additional problems and additional silos as you do that. So everyone wants to look into additive solutions, and everyone wants to look into IoT solutions and blockchain. I think that really stood out for me as I read the report. And again, there's a multitude of companies and solutions that can help you get there, including ourselves. But it's important to have a plan and be able to kind of get some small wins there. I think that's going to improve the uncertainty of adopting some of these future technologies. As great as they are, it's not as simple as trying to flip the light switch on an entire organization.
And are you, from an automation standpoint, are you projecting a heightened pace of investment in that area in supply chain here in the States?
Yeah, I would see that, and we've seen it globally. Everyone's really looking to move faster to POC, move faster to actually, implementing some of those processes. And again, I would recommend to stay away from adopting it from an end-to-end perspective and pick a part of the supply chain that you're maybe in a better place or can meet with a specific partner. I would suggest materials management.
great for Apex.
That's just me. And get comfortable of how that looks and reducing change management. That's a big part, because it's a different way of doing things. But there doesn't need to be a lot of change management in a lot of cases. So reducing that's really important, and making it palatable.
So one of the last questions I want to ask you, you were talking your international travels before the show, and Chris kind of touched on this. How is Atlanta viewed? We're proud, and we're ambassadors for the hashtag supply chain city, but in all your conversations, from Asia to the Middle East, to wherever else you're going these days, what are folks saying about Atlanta?
Yeah, I think, everyone knows Atlanta for a great concentration of enterprises across a ton of different verticals and industries. But I think as we travel on a technology front as well as a supply chain front, very well known in both capacities and in growing. I think top five in both, and people look to Atlanta for innovation and look to Atlanta for leadership. from a technology perspective, and most certainly from a supply chain perspective, mm-hmm. Across many fronts, not only manufacturing supply chains, but logistics supply chains. And again, for us, it's there would be no better place to be.
Love it. Love
so,
it.
Paul, you're not from here. No offense to you. I mean, that's
we'll
let you sit in on the radio show.
I'm not.
I'm not from here.
I'm
either,
not here from here. No. Like most of us, right?
Yeah. My daughter was born here, so she's official. So how did you get your company to start in the wonderful Atlanta?
Yeah. So I was relocated here through my corporate job that I had for many years with the Sherwin-Williams Company, and chose Atlanta for many of the reasons that we just talked about. As I manage the Eastern U.S. business for our industrial distribution group. And being in that supply chain, I saw a lot of the problems that I initially set out to solve with audit, which was more of a sales enablement for suppliers and distributors solution. And then we, about a year and a half ago, pivoted towards what we're doing today. But, as I was looking to start a business and prospects of moving elsewhere or even back home to Cleveland, there was no better place to be, especially with the resources, the ability to travel and expand quickly as a small company.
Yeah.
Let me tie in Jim on this as well. So
yeah.
You kind of alluded to it. You said, as I thought about starting a business. So I'm always curious from an intellectual curiosity standpoint, did you, Jim, you and Paul, when you were in high school, you said, I want to run a company, How does that work out? Is it just you're goal driven? It's just the type, right place at the right time?
Yeah, I think it. I always had an entrepreneurial spirit.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, and took that. Even when I was working for a corporate, applied those principles and always had an interest, but just never had that thing that pulled me in.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, felt more comfortable with an industry I knew really well, mm-hmm. and that, in supply, I always call supply chain logistics just a wonderful honey hole for opportunity, especially from a technology perspective, and then obviously, great support from my wife who allowed me to leave the comforts of a really great job and career to do that and have supported us as we've gone through it. It's been
Paul,
invaluable.
You have a competitive streak. Does that factor in?
Yeah.
I mean, you played basketball in college.
Yeah, of course. It's as we continue to go, we want to redefine an industry. We want to, our vision is to build the intelligent digital supply chain. So we know that we're going to have to redefine that, and we want to be the leader in it. Always competing, to change and educate and be the fastest to do so.
Yeah. Chris told me you averaged a triple double throughout your last senior season.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what stat line you were looking at. But,
sounds good.
But I'll take it.
So
I'll
Jim,
triple double in the classroom.
I didn't check this out, but I assume you started the company.
Yeah,
is that
I
correct?
Did.
So no. I mean, what was your? You're a bit competitive. We talked about the dancing and everything else, but is that? What was your motivation?
Well, I started out introduced to transportation in 1989 from a friend of mine's father. He started, after deregulation, a company. And he said, you're really competitive as an anchor of a track team for the 400 quarter mile. So I was always driven, competitive, and I wanted to start my own business also. But he pulled me in 1990. And I was always fearless, so always absent of fear. And that became more relevant as I got older. We just did a executive team retreat. It was called the Fearless Becker Retreat. And we went out to Del Mar, California.
Hmm.
And, it's funny. You mentioned something about businesses. You need a license to get married. You need a license to drive a car. But people can just start a business without a license, and it's kind of weird. You talk about entrepreneurship, right? We're taught in school from grade one all the way through high school and even college on how to follow, right? But we're mm-hmm. not taught the entrepreneur skills.
That's right.
We have to find that, right, from an intrinsic value. When I worked for the company that I worked for before starting my own, I wanted to start a business that people were treated properly, that people had an opportunity for growth and success. And not just because, you know, someone's brother or sister worked there and people were, like, shamed out of a position, which I saw a lot of. And it's in a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and did sales, sold a $5 million contract to a customer per year for simple single-source solution. And after signing the contract, they asked me to come work for them. So I was a transportation manager, purchasing manager, and did that while I figured out how to start my own business.
Mm.
Looking back, I wouldn't do it again. There's a lot that you don't know, and I'm still learning things that I don't know. It's a good position to be in.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation with Jim and Paul. But, Paul, we talked one last thing before we kind of move into wrap up. We talked about upcoming events you've got, because you've got one coming up in Atlanta, and you've got one a little bit further down the road in San Francisco. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we are looking at tailing on our rebrand and launch of our platform, mm-hmm. certainly part of it, but we're sponsoring a supply chain innovation event in partnership with the Metro Atlanta Chamber on the 13th of March.
Yep.
In the afternoon. So anyone, open invitation, anyone interested, we're going to have a lot of supply chain leaders and would love more supply chain leaders, investors, and really everyone interested in supply chain to join us there as we talk about innovation in the supply chain, a few panel discussions, and then we'll spend a little bit of time demoing and releasing our new platform, the Verisyn platform for materials management.
So that week is going to be the supply chain week in Georgia.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be lobbying the new governor there. You know, they've got a manufacturing appreciation week. We need to have a supply chain appreciation week. We'll see how that goes. But so March 12th is going to be the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. March 13th, supply chain innovation with our friends at Verisyn. And then March 14th is the Georgia Logistics Summit in Cartersville. So, and I'm sure there's something on Monday and Friday. So we'll see. So, Jim, you'll have to come back and visit us that week, maybe.
Sounds like it.
That's why we are the supply chain city, right?
That's right. Absolutely. I love that.
Speaking of March 12th, the Verisyn, it was the prior name.
Audit.
Yep. They were nominated for Supply Chain Innovation as a 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Award.
I can definitely see it. I bet they were a strong competitor, too.
Very much.
Are you spilling the beans on the winners just yet?
Not yet.
Well, we're very humbled to be nominated. It's very exciting.
Well, there was only, it's not like everybody and her brother nominated themselves. I mean, we had a very targeted group of 12, 14, companies, leading companies that were nominated. So we'll see how that goes. But congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you.
If you want to learn more about Verisyn, check them out on their website, Verisyn, Verusen.com. Follow them on Twitter, and that's at Verisyn_AI. Is that right?
Correct.
They're hiring. They're growing. Both these firms are. Becker Logistics and Verisyn are both hiring, growing, providing opportunities. So if you're listening, we're giving you the insider's edge in terms of how to put your best foot forward. So, again, I want to thank Jim Becker and Paul Noble for joining us this morning. And Jim, thank you for hosting us. We're in the Taj Mahal in Duluth. Home for of one of seven current offices for Becker Logistics. But if you blink, we're going to be 70 soon, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a few empty desks, so get us your resumes.
That's right. So let's touch on, we're going to wrap up here. We're running a little bit over, but it's tough to
so much
cut good conversation. Yeah. It's tough to cut good conversation off. So tomorrow, actually, we're going to see Jim and Paul tomorrow, along with 15, 20 other supply chain leaders, as Graphic Packaging hosts APIX Atlanta at their headquarters in town. And we're going to be talking all about S&OP, Chris.
Best city around, Sandy Springs.
Yep. And big thanks to Graphic Packaging for hosting. Big thanks to Corinne Bursa and Legility for facilitating and speaking. Corinne, Legility is a sponsor of APIX Atlanta, a long-time supporters and thought leaders within the supply chain community and APIX community for sure. So
she's speaking tomorrow.
She is. She's leading the. It's going to be an executive roundtable type approach. So she's going to be presenting a little bit on the front end and then posing questions to leaders like Jim and Paul here and 15, 20 others.
So we get some home cooking.
I think so.
She presents all around the world, so we're good to get her local.
Absolutely, Corinne is a wonderful advocate for APIX Atlanta. So that's tomorrow, and we already talked about March 12th, the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. We're sitting here with one of the nominees. We talked about the Georgia Logistics Summit on March 14th. This year's theme is going to be the Inland Port Strategy. That's not only working well here, but really in other areas around the country, being fueled by e-commerce for sure. Georgia, as we all know, is going to be doubling down on that Inland Port Strategy as they're standing up their next Inland Port in Gainesville, Georgia. So they've got one tackling the 75 corridor, North 75 corridor, and the next one's going to be tackling the North 85 corridor. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And you can learn more at Georgia GA LogisticsSummit.com. You can register. Registration's open. Again, it's going to be focused on Inland Port Strategy, and they've already got a great speaking lineup on that Thursday, March 14th event.
Got one more thing for Paul. That March 13th event?
Yeah.
Is that, what time is that again?
It's in the afternoon, so kickoff right around 3:30. So leave work a little bit early and miss the traffic, and then miss the traffic on the back end. We'll go to about 6:30 or so. Okay.
So no lunch? I'm just checking that. Dinner. That's how I schedule my meetings.
Happy hour. And,
well, that's close.
And,
okay, happy hour. I can
and finger that. Foods there.
Okay.
So, and you can find out and register at the Metro Atlanta Chamber's website.
Yeah.
Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, and we'll be getting out. Any interest, feel free to reach out to us, and then we'll be pass along any of the invitations that that you may have. We'll
Perfect.
Be getting those out this week.
Perfect. Two final events to share. In May, the Association for Manufacturing Excellence is going to be holding its Atlanta 2019 Lean Summit here in the Supply Chain City. Great speakers, a lot of best practice sharing, networking. They've got about a dozen tours available for that, Chris. Caterpillar, Ingersoll Rand, ZF,
wow.
Fiber Visions, and a lot more. You can learn more at AME.org, and Supply Chain Radio is excited to serve as a media partner for that great AME event.
And their focus is on lean processes and things.
Yeah, lean's a big hallmark of the AME group. Huge focus on manufacturing, and I would argue even a bigger focus. Lean's a big part of it, but on all things continuous improvement related to the manufacturing seems to be. And one other event, we're proud media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit. That's going to be in Atlanta June 10th through the 12th of 2019 this year. Home run lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, and many more. C-level keynotes from these large successful organizations. You can check out EFT.com, but better yet, if you shoot us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com, we will send you a specific link, and you can learn all the information you need and hopefully register. We're going to be there.
We get a discount code?
If you register by March 1st, I think they're offering like a $1,200 reduction. So, I mean, it's a
high-level people there.
Yeah, it's high-level. It's targeted towards upper levels of leadership.
Decision-makers.
Decision-makers. We hope to be broadcasting live. We'll see.
That'd be great.
We're going to be there. We haven't gotten all of our permission slips signed, so we'll see how that goes.
Worst case, we'll be in the lobby.
That's right. You're letting our strategy out there, Chris. But big thanks. So again, EFT.com or shoot us a note, and we will make sure we get you information on that. Big thanks to our guests today, Jim Becker with Becker Logistics, Paul Noble with Verison. Had a great conversation. It could easily, just like we've gone over, we could have easily added a couple extra hours, you know, between leadership and technology and growth. And with an eye towards the path ahead, what we're all expecting in 2019. Really enjoyed the conversation. Jim, you'll have to follow Paul and be a repeat guest when
get
you back.
Yeah, well, anytime.
Especially in both of y'all's world of growth and advancement and providing opportunities for everybody. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, on the next show, I want to check and see if they share the same barber.
We'll see. To our audience, thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to check out our other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Be sure to subscribe. We love our subscribers, so you don't miss a thing. So on behalf of Chris Barnes, Malcolm and the research team, the whole Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend here. But this is Monday morning, right?
Long weekend.
Long weekend, and as I'm dialing up the outro music there, have a great week, and we will see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.
Thanks for listening to Supply Chain Now Radio. To listen to more episodes, check us out on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, or supplychainnowradio.com. And if you're interested in advancing your career, team-building exercises, or simply satisfying your intellectual curiosity, check out an APIC certification workshop at apicsatlanta.org.